Amen. Remain standing, and let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians once again this morning, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll read verse number 17 today. Today we get to talk about how in Christ we have been made new, brand new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we are working our way through the book of 2 Corinthians, made it to chapter 5. Of course, it goes a little bit slower when we only cover one verse on a Sunday, but it's a really good verse. So we're going to spend some time on it today. Look at verse number 17 with me, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Would you read that with me one time today, church? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the newness that we are offered through your Son, Jesus. I pray that if there's one here who has not been made new, that they would today. And God, if there are others who have been made new, but haven't been acting new, Lord, that we would settle that with you today as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. If I were to tell you that I got a new car, you may wonder, are you saying you got like a brand new car that's never been owned, or it's, you know, a couple years old and it's just new to you? If I were to say we got a new house, you'd probably wonder, do you mean that you built like a brand new home that's never been lived in, or it's new to you and it may be 40 years old? If I said I got a new job, you might think, do you mean like it's a brand new position that's never existed, or you're just working somewhere different? Now, when the Bible says we have been made new, there's no mistake about it. If you are a Christian, you have been made brand new. You might think, I don't feel very new, Pastor. Well, you are. If you are in Christ, Jesus hasn't only cleaned up your life, praise the Lord, he has made us new. Can you say amen to that this morning? Now, there's a difference between being new and just saying that you're new. Just because you say you're new doesn't mean you're new. Years ago, being on staff at Lighthouse Chillicothe, we had the privilege of running a junior high church camp. Happened throughout the summer, right around the same time. Our teens go to fuel camp at the same place. It was just a junior high only camp, and we got to run that camp, and it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. The name of the camp, we called it that week, Real Camp. Real. Because we wanted to see real, genuine commitment and followers of Jesus Christ. We didn't want the fake stuff. We wanted real, sincere believers in Jesus. So real camp. And we got to do that for probably three summers or so. Fast forward about 10 plus years later. I'm at fuel camp with our teenagers. Again, the same place. A youth director walks up to me. His name's Aaron Fawcett. Some of you might know Brother Aaron. He's the youth leader at Bible Baptist Church in Wilmington, Ohio. And he walks up to me because they used to bring their junior high to real camp. And I know him, and he walked up, and he said, I want to show you something. He got out his phone, and he pulled up a picture, and he showed me a picture. It was actually a mugshot from their local jail. He showed me this picture, and I'm like, am I supposed to know, like, who this is? Am I related to this person or something? I don't know. Do you know them? I don't know who it is. And then he said, look at the shirt that he's wearing. And sure enough, right in the mugshot, big letters, real camp. And I thought, man, we did a great job, right? It worked. And I thought, man, you can wear the t-shirt if you want, but just because you say it doesn't make it true, right? I had the blessing of being able to teach a Teens for Christ Bible study at Chillicothe High School. Lighthouse Chillicothe, they've been able to get into 8 of the public local schools during the school and teach Bible study in the high school and junior high. They've been doing it for years. Years ago, I taught the Chillicothe City Schools Bible study. I could say CHS. You guys may get the wrong impression. I mean the real CHS, all right? Chillicothe. And so I taught that, and they call it the marathon because there's like 2 or 3 middle school Bible studies and then 3 high school Bible studies. They're all at lunchtime, and you're in the same room for like 3 hours with just different groups of kids who are coming in. Sometimes it's a lot of kids. Sometimes it's one-on-one discipleship that I'm counseling like some kid, and I'm like, what's up, man? What do you want to talk about today, you know? And other times there's 40, 50 kids in there, and it was great. One day I showed up a little early to Bible study, and there were a group of boys, and you could come during lunch, or some of them would come during their study hall. Now, the Lord knows their heart, but there were probably some who just wanted to get out of study hall. But praise God, come on in. I'll share the gospel with whoever comes in there. And so this group of boys, I showed up, and they were standing in the lunch line. And as I'm walking up, I can start to hear their conversation, and it's not a holy conversation. Let me just say that. The one boy in particular was using some foul language. He was cussing as I was walking up. Now, he doesn't see me coming. His friends are facing toward me. They see me coming, and so they get really quiet, and they're just kind of standing there. He doesn't, and he's going on and on, and I'm hearing everything, and I'm just waiting behind him. And then eventually, he's kind of picking up, like, why aren't you guys talking? And they're like, and he turns around, and I wanted to go, ah, you know, but I didn't. Instead, he was a little startled, and immediately, now his conscience is working on him, and he starts making excuses. He's like, well, and he starts guilty Gabby, and he's talking and talking. And then he said this. He said, Nate, he said, I am a Christian. I'm a Christian. He said, I just don't act like it. And I said, buddy, those type of Christians don't really exist in the Bible. Now, I don't mean you're never going to sin again. And once we're made new, we will stumble. But eventually, you're going to start acting new, if you're new. Saying it and being new are two different things. How are we new? Well, we have a new position, and we're also a new creation. Now, if you remember, the Apostle Paul has already told us in this chapter, chapter 5, that one day we're going to get a brand new body. How many of you are looking forward to that new body? Say amen today. We're going to get a new body. But right now, we don't have it. And maybe Paul is kind of clarifying and saying, look, even though one day in the future, it may be a long time away, we will get that new body, but make no mistake, right now, at this very moment, even though you don't have a new body, you are new. Your spirit has been recreated, and you are a new creature. This isn't just turning over a new leaf, straightening your life out. Some people say, yeah, I'm getting my act together. No, that's not what we're talking about. God doesn't just fix us, He recreates us. God takes sinful, corrupt human beings and changes us from the inside out. So I ask you this morning, have you been made new? New how? Number one, the first thing we see from our text is that we have a brand new position. I love this, a new position. Look at verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5 with me again. That passage that I read says this, therefore, If any man be, here's the new position, in Christ. In Christ. That's our new position. And I love the promise that it says, if any man, any woman, anyone, it doesn't matter what class, what race, what nationality, what language, or what level of intelligence, anyone, anywhere can be a new creature in Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad salvation's for anyone? Say amen today. Rich or poor, educated, uneducated, Republican or Democrat, all right? I'm just teasing. Calm down. No. So at this point, I'm going to talk about who you need to vote for specific. No, I'm not. Some of you started sweating as soon as I said it. If the worst sinner on earth repented of their sins this morning and turned to Jesus Christ alone for salvation, listen to me, heaven would be as certain for them as any saint ever saved. Anyone, anywhere, anytime can be in this new position. A few days ago, many of you saw this, Pope Francis said this, every religion is a way to arrive at God. Sikh, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, they are different paths. And although we believe anyone can come, we also know God's word teaches there is only but one way, and all must come the same way. Some might think, well, that's not really fair. I think that's as fair as it gets. Everyone comes the exact same way. That sounds pretty fair. The truth is, even if God made 100 different paths to him, somebody would complain we don't have 101. And there are some people who get so caught up on God only made one way when I'm over here saying, praise the Lord, he made any way at all, right? When we didn't deserve a way, he made a way. Anyone can come. But they must come that one way. If any man, if anyone. John chapter 3, verse number 15, this is the testimony of Scripture. I want you to notice the pattern here. It says, that whosoever, you, me, we, whosoever, anybody, whoever, believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 16, you know this one, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The testimony of Scripture continues in Acts 2, verse number 21. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you noticing the pattern here? Acts 10, verse number 43. It says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Romans 10:13, the first verse that I ever memorized as a Christian says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, are we getting the pattern yet? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And then the end of our scriptures. Revelation 22, verse 17 finishes with an invitation, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Scriptures teach us that God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If any man be in Christ, that's a new position. Any sinner, no matter how awful, despicable, depraved, who repents and believes in Jesus is placed in Christ, where he is a new creature. This is not a promise for those who are in themselves. There are many people who believe in themselves to earn their way into heaven. No, it's not about being in yourself. It doesn't say in ministry. in a Bible study, in a D group, in a Sunday school class, not in church, not in religion, not in the baptistry, not in good works. None of those things will get you in heaven. You must be in Christ. And you can't be half in, half out, because if you're half in, friend, you're all the way out. By the way, nobody begins this way. No one begins in Christ. You know, sometimes I'll hear a person say, well, I've always been a Christian. And I'm just like, nuh-uh. No, you haven't. That's just not true. That's like me saying I've always existed. Like, no, there was a time when I wasn't in this world, and then I came into this world. And before I was in Christ, the Word of God tells me where I was at. It says I wasn't in Christ, I was in another person. I was in Adam. In Adam. Every person on this planet is in one of two categories. Either you are in Christ or you are in Adam. We were born in Adam. Adam was the representative of mankind. You think, well, I didn't pick him. Well, too bad. He's our representative. And then Adam fell. Adam sinned. And now everyone who has been born from the seed of Adam is in Adam. You say, well, again, I didn't get a vote. I mean, I think I would have done okay in the garden, Pastor Nate. I don't think I would have eaten of that tree. I'll say, yeah, right. I mean, Adam had one command that he couldn't break, and he broke it. We got like a bunch of them, and how many have we broken? All of them, right? Just about all. You're like, I think I would have done okay. How'd you do yesterday? Right? No, we would have sinned too. But now being in Adam, consider what that means. That means that everything Adam was guilty of, we are guilty of. Almost as if we were in that garden and took of that tree, because we are in Adam. He was condemned. We are in condemnation. He was cursed. We are in the curse. Everything that was true of Adam is true of us. But that's not who we are anymore. Now we have a new position. Now we aren't in Adam, we are in Christ. So what much of is true of Christ is true of me. Think about this. In Adam, I was condemned. In Christ, I am righteous. In Adam, I was rejected by God because of my sin. In Christ, I am accepted in the beloved. In Adam, I was guilty. In Christ, I am innocent. In Adam, I was under the wrath of God. In Christ, I am in grace. In Adam, I was fallen. In Christ, I am risen. Risen to new life. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22 spells this out for us. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You know, this concept of being in Christ is totally unique to Christianity. One commentator said, a Buddhist does not speak of himself as being in Buddha. Neither does a Muslim speak of themselves as being in Muhammad. And a Mormon doesn't say they are in Joseph Smith or Brigham Young. They may faithfully follow the teaching and example of those religious leaders, but they are not in them. Only Christians can claim to be in their Lord because we have been made spiritually one with Him. It's a brand new position. We are in Christ. Friend, do you understand the magnitude of that statement? There's no better place that you can be but in Christ. And listen, if you aren't in Christ, you're in trouble. You're in trouble of spending eternity separated from God. If you're not in Christ, you're not getting in heaven. And if you die in Adam, you will wake up in hell. We are all born into this world in Adam, spiritually dead. That's why in John chapter 3, when Jesus is talking to a guy named Nicodemus, in verse number 3, he tells him, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We have to have a new birth. Sometimes you'll hear people say things like, "Well, you know, it's not my fault. I can't help it. God made me this way. I was born this way." You ever hear somebody say that? One preacher said, "I agree. You were born that way. That's exactly why you need to be born again." In Adam, we are in our sin. In Christ, we are in forgiveness. Again, some may protest, "That's not fair. Adam messed up and I'm punished. It's not fair that Adam was our representative in the garden." I wonder how fair it was that Jesus represented us on the cross. One commentator wrote, "Only if Adam represents you in the garden can Jesus represent you on Golgotha. It was on the cross that Jesus served as your representative. His obedience to the law, his righteousness, his suffering the penalty. If Adam stood for you in the garden, Christ may also hang for you on the cross." And we might say, "Well, that's unfair that I get Adam's sin." Friend, we got plenty of our own, don't we? I would say what's less fair is not that I have Adam's sin, but that Christ would have mine and that I get his righteousness. That doesn't seem very fair, but it's a new position. Second thing that we see is that it's a new creation. Look back to verse 17 of that opening text. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Like, I feel like a creature preacher sometimes. A new creature. Remember at VBS, Xantar, I about forgot his name, the character. Called me creature one time, and then the kids were like, "Hey, creature," instead of preacher. Yeah, I'd say we are some creatures. Katesis is the Greek word, something brand new. Never before has it existed, but now it does. Listen, God isn't just reforming the sinner, he's transforming them into a saint. I read the neat story about St. Augustine. When I say saint, everybody's a saint in Christ, but old St. Augustine, he came from a life of just debauchery and sin and wickedness in his younger years, chasing after many worldly, immoral things. And of course, anytime you are saved and delivered from that life, you still have some old companionships that are a little bit different now, right? He said that one day in his younger years, as he had indulged in great sins, after he was converted, he met a woman who shared in his wickedness. I'll just leave it at that. She approached him on the street, and she was excited, and she said to him, "Augustine," sort of like if you haven't seen somebody for a while, you say their name like, "Hey, you know, it's me." And she said, "Augustine," and she called out to him. And he didn't really respond. And she's like, "Augustine, it's me, you know, it's me." And then Augustine turned and just ran away, just took off running. And which is probably a good lesson, some good application there. We probably need to run more than we do, all right? He's running away, and maybe she's thinking, "Oh, he doesn't recognize me. Who's it? Augustine?" She's calling out to him, "It is I. It is I. Augustine, it is I." And he turns around and says, "But it is not I." He said, "The old Augustine is dead and gone. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ." Ephesians 2 verse 10 puts it like this: for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Created, a new creation in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I've heard some people say at times that the greatest miracle in the Bible is creation, when God created the universe. It's got to be the greatest miracle, is what I've heard people say. And they say that because when God created the universe, he started with nothing. So he created something out of nothing, and all of the subsequent miracles that have come after that, God has used things that have already been created to do something miraculous. So that they say that first miraculous act was the greatest miracle. But personally, I would disagree. I believe that the new creation of a sinner to a saint has got to be the greatest miracle in Scripture. Because when God created the universe, he started with, again, what? Nothing. Well, nothing is sort of like nothing. It's kind of neutral, right? It isn't bad. It isn't good. It's just nothing. But when God created you, or recreated you, he wasn't starting with nothing. No, there was something there already. A wicked, depraved heart. And God, in his miracle power, when you put your faith in Jesus, created something brand new from something very, very old, our sinful nature. One preacher said that, yes, it was great that God made the world, but greater still to create a new creature in Jesus Christ. And only the power that makes a world can make a Christian. You are a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is, present tense, a new creature right now. If you are in Christ today, you are already new. You won't become a new creation in heaven, although you will get a new resurrected body. When we get to heaven, your body will simply match your new spirit. And you may have the same home, drive the same car, work the same job, go to the same school, but your soul is made entirely new. It's been said that God formed us, sin deformed us, Christ transforms us. And although you may look the same in the mirror and appear the same on the outside, the truth of God's word is, if you are in Christ, you have been completely transformed on the inside. Look, the saved aren't just forgiven. We are changed into a new creation. God doesn't forgive us and then just leave us where we are. He makes us new. You ever run into somebody after coming to faith in Christ and they say something like, you're like a different person? Amen. You should be. Back to verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, right now, a new creature. Old things, this is beautiful, are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Behold, all things are become new. Anytime you see that word behold in the Bible, it should cause you to stop and ask yourself, what am I beholding? It's like Paul is saying, wait. Think about this. How amazing. Look at this. Behold the new man that God has created, and the old things are gone. And when true conversion takes place, it can always be seen by somebody else. Our focus is new, from the things of the world to the things of God. Our affections are new, from the love of this world to the love of God. Our thinking is new, from the mind of this world to the mind of Christ. Our perspective is new from a secular worldview to a biblical or spiritual worldview. We're going in a new direction. Before, when we were in Adam, we were running towards sin. Now that we're in Christ, we're running away. In Adam, I was chasing after sin. In Christ, sin is chasing after me. And sometimes it catches me. But the direction, oh, the direction is a different direction. Does this mean that all of our old habits are gone forever? No. No, being a new creation doesn't mean we are perfect in practice. It means that we are changed and we are being changed. We just sang that a few moments ago. Although we are free from the penalty of sin, we are still in these corruptible bodies. So the presence of sin is very real. You say amen to that? It's very real. It means that we are changed and being changed. This verse, I don't believe it describes believers' practice as much as it does our position. Our position has changed. However, if your position is new and it has changed, eventually it will affect your practice. Remember, the Holy Spirit works through us, but he doesn't work for us. And we are called to walk in newness of life. Day by day, my practice begins to match my position. And one day, when I stand before his throne and he gives me that new body, my position and my practice will be forever in harmony. My body, my flesh will match my new spirit. You know, again, it's possible to say that you're new and not really be new. The Apostle John tells us many times that a person can say something and yet their life doesn't match their profession. He uses the phrase in his first epistle, 1 John, he that saith, over and over again. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3 says this, "And hereby we do know that we know him." How do I know if I'm a new creation? I'm new. And that means I'm probably going to keep his, what, commandments. Look at verse number 4, though. It says this, "He that saith, I know him." You can say it. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I know him. You can say it, but he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a, what's the word? Liar. And the truth is not in him. Real camp. You can wear the t-shirt. I'm a Christian, I just don't act like it. You are self-deceived. 1 John 2, verse 9, the same phrase. "He that saith, he is in the light." I'm in the light. I follow Jesus. "And hateth his brother." So his life does not match his profession. "Is in darkness." You're not in the light, even until now. 1 John 4, verse 20. "If a man say, I love God," I love the Lord, I believe. "If a man say, I love God, and he hateth his brother," his profession doesn't match his practice. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a," what's the word? "Liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" Saying you are a new creature doesn't make it true. It isn't what you profess, it's what you are. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things have passed away. And if the old things have not passed away at all, then you don't really have any proof that you're in Christ, no matter what you tell me or anybody else. Does that mean we're never going to struggle with those old habits and fleshly desires? Of course not. No wonder the Apostle Paul said just a few verses earlier in this same chapter, remember what he said? For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. Oh, we're yearning, desiring to be clothed with our new house, our new bodies in heaven. Why is this desire so strong? Why do we long for that day? Because as Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do are the things that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I'm a new spirit. I'm in a dead body. And sometimes that new spirit and that dead body really don't get along too well. Are you going to struggle? Absolutely. If you don't, I want to meet you. A preacher said, in a word, where there is no sanctification, there is no regeneration, and where there is no holy life, there is no new birth. 1 John 2, verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. You can say it, it doesn't make it true. It doesn't mean you have to work to be saved, but if you are saved, you will walk in newness of life, putting off the old man, walking in the new. I'm not asking, do you act new? I'm not asking, can you look a little bit new? Have you ever been made new? And if you say, I've been made new, yet you're still acting old, are you new acting old, or are you just old and never been made new? If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I ask you that question again. Have you been made new? And if you are new, have you been acting like it? Would you stand with me this morning? As you stand, if you would bow for just a second. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Has there been a time where you've put your faith in Jesus? And he has made you new. Maybe you haven't. But if you're here today and you're still in Adam, friend, the truth is you're in trouble unless you do something about it. The Bible tells us our responsibility, whosoever believes. If you will put your faith in Jesus today and believe, friend, he will save you and make you brand new. He will change you immediately, and he will begin to change you until one day you'll get a brand new body to match your new spirit. Christian, you're new. Whether you feel new or not, you got a brand new position, and you are, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. Sometimes we don't act very new. Maybe you want to come today and renew your heart today. Cast off the old man and resolve to walk in that newness of life once again. Christian and church, I invite you today. We have a huge outreach coming up. And it's not by might, not by power, but by the Lord's Spirit that anything will be done. and that anybody will be saved. So I'm going to invite you to come and pray. Pray specifically for that. We have plenty of flyers and postcards here surrounded on the altar. Maybe right now there's somebody on your heart that you want to invite, and you know that they're not saved. Maybe it's a neighbor or a friend of yours or a coworker. Maybe it's someone in your own family. And the truth is, they may not come here, but we got a really good chance. We got a really good shot getting them to come to a fall family day. Maybe they got some kids. Would you come today and pray that the Lord would bless our efforts, that He would get the glory, and that souls would be saved? I invite you to come. Lord, I thank You for another day that we can celebrate the new life that You've given us through Your Son, Jesus. I pray if someone is here who is still in Adam, today they would turn from their sin, put their faith in You, and they would be saved. Lord, forgive me when I don't act like the new man. It's a daily battle. We understand that, God. Maybe there's somebody new who hasn't been acting very new here. I pray that they wouldn't harden their heart. It would soften their heart today. Lord, that this would be a time of reflection and repentance so that we might walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.